Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining New Jersey Revolution Radio on the web at www.njrevolutionradio.com. I am not going to spend a lot of time talking to you. We want to get right to my guest. It's an honor and a privilege to actually speak with somebody. I remember reading about NJ Weedman when I was like 18 years old, and I remember reading your editorials, Ed, in the Star Ledger back then. And I am now 47 years old, and here you are still giving things up for the cause, and you just made a pretty big sacrifice fighting for what you believe is right. I think most people know that you just got out of prison after doing 447 days. How are you, man?
I'm all right. I'm still winding down, I'm all right. I had an emotional couple of days after I got out.
Yes.
So I've gotten through that, and I'm making moves to just restart now.
You really couldn't tell that, you know, you've been through, being locked up, I've never been locked up, so I can imagine the emotional toll that it's taken on you. But publicly, it doesn't look like you've missed a beat, man. I was watching your live stream on Facebook when you got released. You headed over to the joint. You said hi to everybody. So what you've been dealing with, you've kind of kept inside a little bit. You say you're past it. It's hard for me to believe that you're completely past that kind of trauma, you know? How have you been getting past it? How have you been working on that stuff?
Well, I mean, not that past it, I mean, you know, I spent 447 days just angry and mad. I mean, at first I went through emotions of I couldn't believe it. And then it was like, you're like, you dirty MFers. You know, I'm talking about the prosecutors, the way they did it.
Right.
And these new bail law where, like, you can become a victim of the New Jersey bail reform law. If a prosecutor and a cop just says to the judge that you are a danger to the community, and the judge agrees, and then you're stuck for at least 9 months.
And wow.
That's pretty much what happened to me. I mean, I basically got into a public fight with the local Trenton Police Department and the Mercer County Prosecutor's Office. And they jailed me on a totally bogus privilege charge and held me for 447 days. So, you know, I went through the frustration of that. I knew ultimately they would never be able to get 12 jurors to agree with that. And, you know, I've been talking about jury nullification for a long time. I wasn't allowed to say the word jury nullification. But I sure hope, and I haven't talked to any of the jurors, but I sure hope the jurors basically did that. They realized that this was a persecution prosecution, and they weren't going to sign off on it, and said not guilty. That's what I hope happened. Because, I mean, I didn't commit the crime that they said I committed, and they knew I didn't commit that crime. That's the crazy part. They know it was bullshit the whole time.
Do you feel like, I mean, so they try to intimidate you with this bogus charge, and when you don't bend, when you say, no, I'm fighting this all the fucking way, and if I got to do time to do it, that's what I'm doing. Because you can always plea out, right? At any point during this, you could have said, you know what, all right, I'm guilty of something, I'll do 6 months or whatever. And you didn't do that. Do you think there was a point at which the prosecutors realized that they didn't have a case, but only pushed forward out of trying to make a point, out of trying to save face, that they knew you were innocent, but, you know, they can't give up now because they already put themselves out there and they're going to look stupid if they don't try to, you know, process.
No, it's worse than that. The police and the prosecutors fabricated this case. This is it's a total non-case, and they never offered me a plea. They never offered me nothing. The only thing they did was they utilized the bail reform law to punish me. And that's what it wasn't pretrial detention. It was, we're going to punish him as much as we can while we can, because we have this new tool now, the bail reform law. And there's nothing he can do about it but sit and bring it to trial. And that's what I did. I mean, if the jury was dumb enough to convict me, then that would have just been icing on their corrupt cake. But as it turned out, you know, the jurors said not guilty, and I walked away 447 days later, punished for a crime that I did not commit, and they knew I didn't commit. But they got some punishment out of me because I've been a big mouth for a long time. I'm a smart ass. I say things they don't like. I bring up things they don't like. And I don't have a problem going out in public and saying it. So they basically were trying to put me in my place, trying to punish me for what essentially is free speech.
Yeah, I mean, there's organizing value to being antagonistic towards your opposition, to point out hypocrisy, to point out injustice, to point out social injustice. And you do that to the point of, like you said, they just want you to be quiet. You're not being quiet, though, are you, Ed? You're not.
No, I've always been one of these three people. If someone tells me to shut up, I'm going to speak louder and faster, you know? You know, they took me for a loop now, 447 days, and even in jail, I made a point to call people, to write people, and I still got my message out. At least once a month, I was still in the newspapers, so right. I felt like I was thumbing my nose the entire time. Now that I'm out, there's all kinds of other media out there, you know, besides the local papers. I'm going to be reaching media all over the country, all over the world, if I can. And I'm going to constantly talk about how I was a political prisoner in the state of New Jersey, and they instituted this new bail reform law, which is really the King's Dungeon Act reincarnated. And, you know, the founding fathers of this country, they specifically put the Eighth Amendment in the U.S. Bill of Rights so that a government couldn't do what my government, my local Mercer County government, just did to me. This is why we have the Eighth Amendment. So you can't just throw somebody in a cage and then, I'll give them a fair trial at some point down the road. You know, you can't do that. And that's what just happened to me. And I didn't get a fair trial. I wasn't getting a fair trial either. That was another thing. Yeah. I wasn't allowed to have any witnesses. I couldn't bring up any exculpatory material. I mean, they said that I wanted this rat to, and I call him the rat. Right. I wanted the rat to not testify or to change his testimony. And there was I never said anything like that. Everything I put on the internet about him was either a warning to the public that he's a rat, which is illegal, or I was requesting information about him so I could prepare my case, or I put information about him that I had already gathered from the internet. But it never at any point did I threaten him, and never at any point did I ever ask him not to testify, not to show up, or anything like that. Just the opposite. I constantly said, I want this guy to show up and testify and actually testify on my behalf that these government police officers made him. Yeah, but the government is not allowed to create crime. You know, police officers are allowed to investigate crimes. They can prosecute crimes. They can assist in prosecuting a crime. They can stop crime.
But we in this country have a long history of agents of the government creating crime. I mean, you know, I'm sure you're aware, but COINTELPRO is just the tip of an iceberg. Whether it be the CIA, the FBI, local authorities have, I mean, always done this kind of stuff. And you, unfortunately, are one of the latest victims of this, you know, police state, essentially, you know, you know, designed for profit. Now, in your case, it was used for political leverage and like you said, punishment for basically using free speech. But this is a pattern of abuse that this country has been engaged in since the 1700s.
Yes. But it is illegal. And when there's times when you can find it and point it out to the public, That is in compliance of the First Amendment. And that's what happened. I knew who the rat was. I knew the police sent him to do it. And I publicly outed him and shamed the government's case. So they called it. They just created this crime to call it witness tampering. But it wasn't. The original crime, they said the weed charge, they created that case first. And that's the funny part. They created that case. And then when I complained about them creating that case, they locked me up for witness tampering.
Unbelievable. And I recall wealthy white people like Dick Cheney outing CIA agents who were undercover and doing political work for them. And they walk away scot-free and they make billions and billions of dollars. But you are trying to get your pound of flesh. I do see some. I'm not sure if you can't talk about certain things. I certainly understand. But you are fighting back. You're trying to get some type of reparations for what you've been put through. Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing in the future? What's next now that you're back on your feet and you're in the public view more?
Well, right now what I'm doing today is gathering signatures so that I can be on the ballot for in November for the office of state assembly person in the 5th district, which is basically Trenton, Ewing, a couple towns, the surrounding towns around Trenton. So I'm trying to get on the ballot. Turning day is Tuesday. I got about 70 signatures right now. I need to turn. I require 100, but I'm going to try to turn in 250 or somewhere between 250 and 300 by Tuesday.
All right.
So that's what I'm doing today. And I'm running under the slogan of repeal, fail, reform. Repeal, bail, reform. I've publicly, as far as marijuana goes, cannabis, I think legalization is here. It's very close. I've been championing the cause of legalization for openly, publicly for over 20 years. There's not a lot left as far as legalization, but, you know, obviously, you know, I think there should be inclusion. I think it should be mom and pop style dispensaries. I think the little guys should be able to open up dispensaries too. It should be a free market system instead.
Ed, I'm not a free market guy. I'm not a free market guy. Let me ask you about marijuana legalization and what we're doing and how it's being used, you know, for profit. And you pointed out in your recent press release about how right now white businesses and the wealthy elite are controlling right now the medical cannabis industry. And I believe you called it the Cannabis Corporation. It was CCC. I can't remember what you had named it.
The Caucasian Cannabis Corporation.
Caucasian Cannabis Corporation. So I have often said that I see the difference, and Senator Ron Rice has brought this up, between legalization and decriminalization. Which, to me, it's a plant, man, and there's going to be all kinds of regulations around, you know, you need permits to grow it and all kinds of shit like that. Man, I just want to put a backyard next to my tomatoes, you know? And that's where, you know, I was wondering your opinion now of, shouldn't we just be decriminalizing it? Senator Rice said, if you want to let people out of jail, just let them out of jail. Why do we have to legalize, regulate, and tax something that we could just let it be and not bother fucking people about it anymore, you know?
Well, if I had the opportunity to talk to Senator Wright, I think the first thing I would say out of my mouth to him, and I don't even want to sound disrespectful, but I would say, Negro, please.
okay, explain that.
That's how I would start that out.
Right.
For almost 100 years, we, and I'm talking about black people, have been victimized by the marijuana laws.
Yes.
We go to jail, get arrested four times the amount that white people get arrested for. And we smoke about the same. I happen to be a black dude that I'd say a little bit more than 50% of my friends are white. And I think that my white friends smoke more than my black friends. And it's been like that my whole life.
We don't get in trouble for it.
But yeah, white people don't get in trouble for it. Very few. I'm not saying none, because I do know some that have been in trouble. But relatively very few, when almost every one of my black friends who smoke weed have been busted at least once.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's always been like that for us. Now legalization is coming. Listen, I think it should be legal. Like, nobody should get busted for it. I don't have a problem with that. Nobody should get busted for it. That should be the end of that. And what Mr. Wright is talking about is kind of keeping some of the law, but I don't know what he's saying. It sounds goofy to me. Like, legalize it, dude. That's it. And as far as economically, business wise, then that's where you hear me say that blacks should boycott this new industry that's being created. And this new industry that's being created by our politicians is only accessible to politically connected, rich, white guys. And yeah. I've called those corporations the Caucasian cannabis corporations. And I say that black people, people of color, if we are legislatively not able to even own or be a part of these industries, why should we cater to it? Why should we? Why should we give our money to them? And in the meantime, there really is black market marijuana, and it will always be here. And I'm saying I would continue. As far as me goes, I still have yet gone to any one of the dispensaries. I could get a medical card. I've had bone cancer for 20 years. I could get a medical card every time I wanted to. I don't want to get a New Jersey. I never applied for one. I don't want to. It's not that it's too expensive or anything, but I really feel like they've deliberately created these Caucasian cannabis corporations. And I feel like it's racism, economic racism. And why should I participate in that? I can buy weed on the street. I have no problems buying weed on the street or making arrangements for marijuana to come to me from California or Washington State or Arizona, Colorado. I can get weed from anywhere I want to. So why would I go to these Caucasian cannabis corporations that I could never even have a part of?
Yeah, exactly. I agree. And look, you know what? And white people should be boycotting them too. I mean, white supremacy, which is so prevalent here in this state, we are the most segregated state in the nation, hurts everybody. And it's when you look at it from my political point of view, it's the biggest thing holding back class solidarity is white supremacy. So I think that, you know, when we look at these marijuana laws, we need to, as a society, say those who have been the victims of drug laws over these past hundreds of years need to be prioritized when it comes to this legalization or decriminalization effort. And Ed, I'm 1,000,000% behind on you, and I will join your boycott, and I will personally continue to support my local weed man as well. All right. So I appreciate that.
And when I say support your local weed man, I don't only mean the black weed man, the brown weed man, the white weed man, whoever, just as long as you don't support this state-sponsored monopoly of the Caucasian Cannabis Corporations, which we call in New Jersey the medical ATCs. These ATCs are really CCCs.
I understand. And that word, and I know that as you continue with this campaign and with your other work, people will start to get more educated. So I know that while I know you personally are relieved to have done your time in jail and be out now, the people of New Jersey and the people of the United States are lucky to have such a solid voice back in action, man. So kudos to you for keeping up this fight. How do people get in touch with you? How do we follow you as you roll out this campaign and your other work? How can we sign your petition, man? How can, if somebody's listening to this and they're in their area, can they stop by the joint and sign your petition? How do they hook up with you?
Well, I'd say the best way would be to hit me up on Facebook, because I got my phone in my hand at all times. I'm going to be in and around Ewing and Trenton today, just riding from spot to spot, store to store, and randomly, you know, getting signatures. But like I said, if anybody in the Trenton area, the Ewing area, the 15th district inboxes me, I may be able to just run right to their house, or I can tell them where I'm at and they can come meet me. But I'm on Facebook all the time. Anybody can follow me on Facebook. My Facebook is wide open. I have Instagram under NJ Weedman, and I have Twitter under NJ Weedman also.
Okay.
And as far as the joint goes, I want to open the joint. I want to reopen the joint, but it takes cash and resources to open the joint. And right now, I have to figure out that. I have to figure it out. Figure out how I'm going to do it and finance it. But when I do it, and I'm pretty sure I will be able to do it. But when I do it, I am going to have a big, giant, grand reopening party. Probably last for 2 days. And I'm going to call it the FCPP party.
Okay.
The Fuck the Prosecutor and the Police Grand Reopening Party.
Man, you are great. Hey, you know what? You made me late for lunch one day. I stood in your shop waiting for a banana daiquiri or something, and I kept looking at the clock. And I kept thinking, oh, I got plenty of time. I was probably standing there for 10 minutes before I realized that your clock just stays on 420 all day. That was fucked up. You need a warning sign on that or something, man.
You know what? It was funny to me when people would come in and they say something like, oh, your clock is off or something's wrong or wait a minute, is that late or is that early? I say, listen, it's always 420 to a pothead. It's always 420. So, man, that's what time it is.
But you're making stoners late for shit, man. All right, man. Listen, Ed, it's just, like I said at the beginning, it's just an honor to be able to chat with you for a few minutes. I know you're busy and you got a ton of stuff going on. But whatever we can do here at New Jersey Revolution Radio to help you in your efforts, you got my contact shit. I'm on Facebook, too. You reach out to me. What's mine is yours as far as I'm concerned in this struggle, man. So thank you very much for joining me today. And I appreciate it. Any last words before we go?
Well, I'll just say to whoever's listening, you may not 100% agree with everything I say, but there may be some things you 200% agree with. So, you know, don't ever let one thing I say one day turn you off. Keep following, keep listening. I'm sure there's something I say you agree with, and share whatever you find out there. Help the little guy. I'm the David of Weed fighting the Goliath of government. Help me via the internet, spread my message. And, you know, I think that the internet is my slingshot against the Goliath of government. Peace.
Definitely. And visit us on www.njrevolutionradio.com. We'll be following Ed and other legalization activists around the state of New Jersey in the future. Talk to you soon. Solidarity, everybody.